a surprise peek at Trump's taxes. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. President Trump has not released his taxes as his predecessors did, but a tiny window is now open to the public. Pages from his 2005 tax return are out. They show he earned $153 million and paid $36.5 million in income taxes. Longtime tax journalist David K. Johnston got the forms and talked about them on Rachel Maddow's MSNBC show last night. Let's look at what's inside with Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Mark.
So what are the big takeaways here?
Well, first, a couple of caveats. This is only two pages of a return from more than a decade ago. It doesn't show us details about the sources of income or expenditures like charity, so we don't really have much detail about the president's financial life now. But one interesting point is that Donald Trump did pay some taxes in 2005. Previous leaks of other tax returns show he could have written off hundreds of millions of dollars of tax bills over time. We also learn that he, like many, took advantage of tax loopholes, writing off more than $100 million in business losses to lower his taxable income, landing at a tax rate of about 25%.
And inside these returns, we have the AMT. This is a big policy question. Remind us what that is and what we see in Trump's returns.
The reason President Trump ended up paying as much as he did in taxes in 2005 is because of the alternative minimum tax. That's a tax that specifically targets the wealthy to make sure that they didn't write off too much and pay very little. It's worth noting here that Trump specifically mentioned the alternative minimum tax during the campaign as a tax he wants to eliminate.
What's the White House saying about the release of these documents?
The White House seems to confirm that the documents are real, but criticized MSNBC for publishing the documents. The White House hasn't said whether President Trump will release his tax return while he's in office, even though that's tradition. The president and vice president are, under current law, subjected to mandatory audits by the IRS. And let's remember that Trump has used the excuse of audits for not releasing earlier returns, even though an audit doesn't actually prevent anyone from doing so.
Okay, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
This afternoon, President Trump is in Michigan. He's expected to announce moves to roll back fuel economy standards for cars. Auto execs and workers will be on hand. This could be the latest blow for the green vehicle market. Auto Trader senior analyst Michelle Krebs explains.
Consumers have not shown great desire to buy those electric vehicles, hybrids and such, and they are doing so at very discounted rates, and not in very big numbers. And at the same time, gas prices are very low, so there's not that incentive to drive consumers to them.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading. In the UK, shares are up. In Germany, shares are about where they started. And, of course, investors around the world watching this afternoon for the Fed announcement near universal anticipation of an interest rate increase. We are getting closer and closer to a critical step in Britain's journey out of the European Union. Prime Minister Theresa May promises to trigger Article 50 this month. That is the move that makes Brexit official and kicks off 2 years of high-stakes talks between Britain and the EU. This week, Parliament passed a bill clearing the way for Brexit. Let's talk about the potential business impact with BBC Economics editor Kamal Ahmed. Hello, Kamal.
Hello.
What will be the key issues that the business community is going to be most concerned about as Britain negotiates this exit from the European Union?
The first thing for most large businesses will be the relationship with what's called the single market. Will there be any hindrances to our exports into the European Union, which make up about 44% of the UK's exports? They can come via tariffs and also what are called non-tariff barriers. So that's rules and regulations that change. And that particularly affects the City of London, for example.
So what happens if the UK and the EU cannot reach a trade deal?
Well, Theresa May has said no deal is better than a bad deal. And I think if you are at your most pessimistic, the suggestion would be that the EU27 would want to punish the UK for leaving or voting to leave the European Union. The more optimistic view is that not only does Britain need access to the European single market, but Europe needs Britain. But if there was a bad deal, of course, we would fall back ultimately onto what are called WTO, World Trade Organization rules. that would mean some tariffs for some of our big export markets in particular.
We have seen the pound weaken since the Brexit vote. This, as we know, can be good for large firms that export, not so great for companies that import goods. Overall, how is the weaker pound playing out for Britain's economy?
Well, there's been some initial data which suggest that exports have increased. The other side to that debate is the inflation effect. The key data point for this country is the relationship between inflation and income increases. Of course, if that inflation figure hits the incomes figure, then people's real incomes start falling. If that happens, then the worry is that the UK economic growth would slow.
Prime Minister May was the first foreign leader to visit President Donald Trump as president. How might Brexit change the economic and trade ties between the US and the UK?
America is our largest single nation export destination. Speaking to business people here, they are looking at where are there now opportunities. And that is not just China. That is not the old Commonwealth countries. In terms of size, that is America. And I think a lot of companies I've spoken to will redouble their efforts to get good trade with America. There is political goodwill on both sides to show the world that this new political and economic order can do deals.
Okay, a lot to watch going forward. The BBC's Kamal Ahmed, thanks very much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.